May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The beginning of John's Gospel opens with a startling claim. Before time, before stars and stories, the Word was. The Word is not merely a concept, but a person who became flesh and lived among us, Jesus. And while the language feels complex, the message is quite straightforward. God showed up. God didn't stay distant or hidden. God stepped into our story in a way we could see, touch, and know. And I'd like to focus on how God showed up. John says, with grace and truth. Grace is kindness we don't earn. It's the unexpected help, the second chance, the hand that reaches out when we've messed up. Grace means that every human being bears the imprint of God and is worthy of dignity, even when marred by failure. Grace meets us in our brokenness and refuses to let us be defined only by our worst moments. We have a God, almighty, omnipotent, all the omnis in fact, who stooped down to look at us eye to eye, whose grace is such that he puts his arms around us just as we are, unready, unworthy, fragile and fallen. And in that grace and embrace, we find ourselves ready, worthy, strong and redeemed. Truth is honesty that sets us free. It's not just facts. It's the kind of honesty that helps us see things clearly. Who we are, what we've done and what we need. Truth can be uncomfortable. But truth is the light that lets us see ourselves and our world as we truly are. John says that in Jesus these two things meet. That's surprising because we often think grace and truth are opposed. Either you're kind and let things slide, or you're honest and call things out. John says both are present together in the life we meet in Jesus. Imagine a friend who always tells you what you want to hear. At first it feels good, but over time you realise you're not growing. Now imagine someone who only points out your faults, truth without care, that also leaves you wounded. What we need is both. Someone who tells us the truth about ourselves and then offers the help to change. That is what John points to. A truth that doesn't shame, and a grace that doesn't ignore reality. When John says the Word became flesh, he's saying God didn't send a lecture or a list of rules from a distance. God came close. God entered the messiness of human life. He experienced hunger, tiredness, grief, and joy, and met people where they were. That closeness means grace and truth are not abstract ideas. They are lived realities. What does truth look like in our world now? We live in an age of information abundance and attention scarcity. Facts are plentiful, but clarity is rare. Truth is often treated as a commodity, to be shaped by power, preference, or convenience. We experience relativism, where every claim is weighed against whether it's my truth or not. And truth has become polarising. What you believe shows what tribe you belong to. In Jesus, truth is not a partisan slogan or a marketing line. In us, then, truth must reflect Jesus' truth. In other words, truth that is embodied, consistent, and life-giving. It shows up in the person who heals the sick, forgives the sinner, and eats with outcasts. So how do we live as people of truth in such a time? First, by cultivating humility. Truth is not a trophy to be won or a battle to win. It is in discussion. It is in difference that we move towards a greater understanding of truth. My reality meeting your reality gives us a greater reality to work with. we also need to cultivate honesty. Jesus modelled this. He named things honestly: hypocrisy, fear, selfishness. But he did so in a way that invited change. He didn't shout condemnation from a distance. He spoke truth in the presence of people and then offered help. Being honest about ourselves can be really difficult, as there is often much we wish to hide even from ourselves. But learning to lean into the truth about ourselves generally helps us judge others less harshly. What does grace look like in our world? Well, again, sadly, it feels quite lacking. We live in a culture that prizes performance and immediate results. So mistakes are treated as failures to be exposed, rather than opportunities for learning and restoration. With the collapse of long-term relationships and institutions that once practiced steady mercy, we have lost many of the places that used to provide repeated chances and slow accountability. In a long marriage, for example, the ebb and flow of mistakes and forgiveness helps a couple grow in maturity of love. The majority of interactions today are transactional and short-lived, with responses that default to quick fixes or cancelling. The consequences are practical and painful. Communities become brittle. People hide struggles, mental health worsens, and cycles of harm repeat because there's no trusted place to admit failure and receive help. Public life becomes performative. Image management replaces confession, and reputation management replaces reconciliation. Economically and politically, systems that punish rather than restore increase inequality and resentment, because those who fall through the cracks rarely get the support to rebuild. Even the church has sometimes felt like a place where grace is conditional, where you have to look a certain way, say the right things, or fit a lifestyle. John's message cuts against that. The Word became flesh and lived among people who were messy, ordinary, and often broken. Grace and truth meet us in our ordinary lives, not only in our best moments. In Jesus, grace and truth together form a single unit. Grace offers forgiveness and welcome. Truth calls us to honesty and transformation. Grace without truth can become sentimentality. Truth without grace can become cruelty. Jesus brings both: an invitation to be known and a call to be changed. John's opening chapter gives us a vision. The Word, who is both grace and truth, has come among us. And this Christmas, we're invited to stand in the light of that. We are invited to receive the gift, to let truth illuminate our lives, and to let grace soften our hearts. Practically, this means choosing humility over certainty, and compassion over triumphalism. It means speaking truth with love and offering grace without calculation. It means living as people who know we are forgiven and therefore free to forgive. As we leave this place, may we carry the light of the Word into our town and homes. May our words be honest, our hands generous, and our hearts grateful. The Word became flesh to dwell among us. May we dwell in that Word, and may the world see in us a reflection of grace and truth. Amen.